and again rehearsed that theme of praising God here, especially this week as we begin our National Day of Thanksgiving week. For a Christian, every week ought to be a National Day of Thanksgiving, I suppose. We have been given purposes. Some of the things we've already covered about Thanksgiving is in Psalm 107. If you'll open there, Psalm 107, we'll just use a verse to jump off of there. But again, as we consider that, remember in Romans chapter 1, I think we covered last week, the fact that there's a stair step away from God in Romans chapter 1. And we find that people take that stair step. Nations take that stair step. Societies take that stair step away from God. And I love, I've taught that stair step again away from God several times to realize you can turn around at any point on that stair step and get back into the presence of God. The very first two steps that I have on that stair step is when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. And so, again, a Christian who's not thankful has lost sight of their purpose in this earth. When covering Ecclesiastes there, we jump to the end. And really, it's a sad thing to just jump to the end and say, hey, never mind the rest of Ecclesiastes. Let's just look at the conclusion that says live for God. But boy, it's necessary to walk through the first 11 chapters of vanity and vexation of spirit, because that's given for all of man to walk down that road and recognize that life is vain. And so it's really a teaching outline. Today's lesson talked again about how can we get young people to do that. I tell you, a good way to get young people to walk down that road is to get their nose in this book and cause, again, that they would be on a path of learning. I'm overeducated, and I don't mind that at all. And education is meant to teach you what you don't know. Not to teach you things, but to teach you how much you don't know. And if you think about that, again, that's what's exposing our young people to, is to build in them an exploring mind, a learning mind. Again, we're missing much of that in our society today. But again, that's what Ecclesiastes was all about, is walk down this road and realize that that's giving, again, as a challenge to all mankind to learn and to grow. And so we find here that this idea of praising God. We was watching another special this week that was so depressing, that told all of the deaths and problems of medications made in other countries and sent here, and killing people because of their heart medications, their blood pressure medications, and everything else because of the contaminants in it. And now, I guess what? Baby formula, again, has been accused of killing making many sick. And so this theme that I've picked up and have tried to emphasize is it's amazing what praising can do, is the fact that it's health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So let's look at a couple psalms that will help us with that, and then we'll dive headlong into a couple more stanzas of praise, of thanksgiving, of praising, of singing, of counting our blessings that's given here. Psalms 107, I think I started us there, is again a tremendous dissertation on this idea that, oh, that men would praise the Lord. And four times it recites that, and four times it gives great reasons why that's so important in our lives. And so let's look at that. First one is in verse 8. Again, let me give you first the things that goes wrong that ends with this stanza about praising the Lord. First off, from hunger and thirst, we need saved. From the shadow of death, we need saved. From the fool's affliction, and from storms of distress and troubles. We looked at that last week again to understand. Verse 21, 15, 21, and 31. Okay, and so you can read any one of them as I follow, and follow along as I would read just from verse 8. It says this: Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Father, thank you and praise you. Thank you that we could be in a worship service that's intent on praising your name. And Father, we praise you again and thank you for this little church. Thank you for folks who love you and gather here together to encourage, to edify, to strengthen one another. Mm-hmm. Father, there's a few of us here today, and we're here again to lift up your name, to praise and exalt you on this first day of the week, the day that you rose your son from the tomb and purchased for us eternal life. And Father, here we are again to praise your name. I pray that you'd help our purpose. Pray that you'd help each heart to be focused. And Father, that it would so set the stage for our week that we begin this morning, that we'd again have a heart of praise and carry us right through a national day of thanksgiving. Thank you for your goodness. In the name of Christ, amen. One more verse, again, I think it's good to look at it over in Psalm 42, if you turn back there. Psalm 42, I've got a litany of psalms, of proverbs, of verses that we need to look at in God's Word. Just to emphasize the fact, two facts, again, that we are built to praise the Lord. All of mankind is constructed by God in order to praise Him. And certainly if you're here and you're a born-again Christian, you've got a commission now to do just that. Look with me at Psalm chapter 42 and verse 5. Here's a case of a soul, as it were, talking to himself. I've long emphasized here again and in my own teachings and my own understanding of my relationship with things in life, is that people have the ability to talk to themselves. People have an ability, a self-awareness, a self-consciousness, that we could talk to ourselves, that we could look at ourselves and analyze, what in the world were you thinking, as my mom used to ask me. And so we ought to do that. And so here the psalmist does just that. Look what he says in Psalms 42 and verse 5, also in 43, verse 5, either one of those, it says this: Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? And then here's the instruction that is given to his soul: Hope thou in God. Put your hope in God. I made the mistake of turning the news over and watching a little bit of Fox last night that tells us all the things that's wrong in our world. And boy, it seems to do it 24/7 again about how bad things are going and the direction again. And again, boy, last night when I did it, this verse was ringing in my ears. There's a lot of things ringing in my ears of late. But this one was ringing there that said, Hope thou in God. We went someplace and they said, people who fear don't have their hope in God. And so if you're living a life of fear, If you're watching the news and living a life of anxiety about how bad things are going, that's a good solution to that again. Then it's because our hope's in the wrong place. And so just help put an emphasis on that as we're praising God in this week of Thanksgiving, that our hope is in God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Your soul's hope should be in God. And then it says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. For the help of his countenance. Look at the other verse 5. For I shall yet praise him who is the health
of
my countenance and my God. So there you have almost two identical verses. One of them claims God as their help, and the other claims God as their health, and they're both equally true. And they're both talking to a soul that is cast down, a soul that is disquieted in us. And so notice again here that we are to put our hope in God. We are to praise his name. We are to lift it up. Last week I read several of these Thanksgiving verses. Let me just read a couple of my favorites. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Your thanksgiving should bring about glory to God. And if you do it all alone and no one knows anything about it, it can still bring about glory to God. That's our relationship with him. Our thanksgiving brings glory to him. 2 Corinthians 9:11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. And so we went through several of these other verses that says, hey, whether we're in bountifulness or whether we're in trial, whether we're in peace or whether we're in affliction. Listen, that's it. We need to have thanksgiving towards God. And so here as we go into a national day of Thanksgiving, boy, again, just recognize the importance of thanksgiving to God. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so we have to have a thanksgiving in our heart. In everything, give thanks, the Bible says. Yeah. And especially we learn that even in afflictions. And so here on this day of Thanksgiving, I have several verses here that we cover about praising. Let me cover the ones here about health to our navel. Open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I say that because everybody can find them. Everyone can probably quote them. And if you can't, well, shame on you. Get your Bible out. Get your 3x5 cards around. Write these verses out so that you could recite them. It says, I ain't going to tell you what it says. You can read it for yourself. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But I've always stopped there, and then I finally, years ago, I got looking around and saying, I know there's a verse that talks about health of thy navel. And sure enough, here it is in Proverbs chapter 3. So look with me at Proverbs chapter 3, after verse 5 and 6. Verse 7 says this, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And then look at verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I've taught that. I've practiced that. We've been in hospital visits before with comatose people. And speaking of which, again, I'd ask you to pray for Rich LaRock, who's my close friend, about the age of my oldest son, and grew up with him up in Rome, New York, with us. And went into the ministry, he's been pastoring for years. Pray for him. But he and I, again, ministering to his mom in a coma, would go in and just read scriptures to his mom. How much of that could she hear? I have no idea, but God knows. How much good could that do to her health? I have no idea, but God knows. And listen, the Word of God, it's not only quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide the thoughts and intents of the heart. But listen, it's able to bring health to thy navel and marrow to your bones. I believe that. And so, again, we're going to have a health lesson here where I'm not going to address what Robert F. Kennedy's talking about, but let's address what God's talking about here, that, hey, living our life for him and with him in a right way, again, will cause us to have health physically, will cause us to have health, again, in our constitution, or as the psalmist said there again, in our soul being cast down. And so it brings health, and we have it there. Why art thou cast down again? Who is the health of my countenance? You need a healthy countenance. And again, we get that by praise, by offering again, and putting our hope there in that verse in our God. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Proverbs 3 that we just read. Proverbs 4, my son, attend unto my words, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Proverbs 12. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 13. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All the way to the end there explains that we're to be ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. Why should we do that? Because again, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, is right in that chapter. And the reason we're a new creature is so that we can do those two things, be a minister and be an ambassador, and it is health, it says here, in our bodies. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There's no question that these verses, many of them are talking about spiritual health. Many of them are talking about the health of our countenance, as it says, but also a physical health. Health to our bones. Health to our navel, as it were. Jeremiah, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 8, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Yea, surely there is a balm in Gilead. And so as we look again at those things, again, I've just got a list of verses here that cover again the fact that we should bless the Lord. We talked about this a little bit last week. I doubtless gave some of these verses. Psalm 16 says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. And when the Bible says reins, I've seen several commentators that don't know what to do with the reins of our life. Evidently, they've never rode in a horse and buggy nor ridden on a horse. To understand, the reins are the things that steer a horse, or stop them or start them. And again, I remember riding a horse down at my sister's, and she had, and it was neck, what'd they call that? Neck reined. And I'd never done that before, but But if you pull on that bit in their mouth, that she would just buck and roll you right off because she was neck-reined. In other words, if you just touch the reins onto the side of her neck, just to know which direction you wanted to go, that's the direction she'd go. Tremendous ride. What a blessing, again, to find a horse that was that well-trained. And I've always thought since then, I'd like to be neck-reined trained for the Lord. I don't know how to say that. But listen, that we could just get a sense for what God wants. He doesn't have to tug on our reins, but He could, again, just gently lead. And that's what we want in our life. Again, so there's a blessing of the Lord. And the reins also instruct me in the night seasons, it says. Psalm 26, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. There's verses that, and Psalms again that talk about standing in a slippery place where my foot had well nigh slipped. What are we to do there? Bless the Lord. Give God the blessing in all areas of our life. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. The Catholic Church, and consequently many of the Protestants, and even some Baptist theologians that I know, deny that man is body, soul, and spirit. And they think, with the philosophers of the East, that it's just material and immaterial. And so they divided man into two parts, material and immaterial. How unfortunate. And how unfortunate that I have a Baptist theology book that agrees with that when my Bible says that man is body, soul, and spirit. And so it gives verses that says that God can tell the difference, and you can lead you to tell the difference between your body and your soul. And I don't know all there is to know about that. But I know again that to hear the psalmist when he cried out because his soul was in travail, because his soul was troubled, that God, what's the psalm say? Doesn't it say something about your soul? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Those are sheep things. And then it says what?
He restoreth my soul.
And so again, certainly we have a soul, we have a spirit. And when we die, our bodies, our soul is immediately given to the Lord. And absent from the body, present with the Lord. Our spirit is absent from the body and present with the Lord. And so again, here we understand that again, our soul can be troubled. That's a deep troubling. And again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Remember, angels is messengers. And as we look at this one here in Psalm 103, I think it's talking about His messengers here on earth. Remember again in Revelations, again chapter 2 and 3, that your pastor's called an angel. I won't let that go to my head because I understand the teaching again that we are messengers from God. And yea, all of us are to be that. All of us are to be ministers of reconciliation here in this world. So Psalm 104 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. If we could just again talk of all His wondrous works that He has given towards us. I must move along, so I'll jump to my third page, and I think we'll stop there. There's so much said in the Bible about song. We've lost so many piano players. I miss Arlene the most, who
Yeah.
I just tell her, could you play that two notes lower? And she goes down two notes lower, so I can sing a lot of the hymns in our songbook. What a blessing, again, to have accompaniment with our music. How it is missed. It was such a joy, again, to have Brother Rich down for our revival services, even for a couple days, and just tickle the ivories over there. And what a blessing, again. So good singing, praise the Lord. Or bad singing. We talked in Sunday school a little bit about noise. When a tree falling in the wood, does it make noise? Is the original question that came about that philosophy lesson. But a noise is an annoying sound, and if there's nobody there to annoy, but Bible says make a joyful noise. So it might be still an annoying sound, but it can be joyful again. And we're to, no matter what kind of singing we might do, even if some would call it a noise and find it annoying, God doesn't. God wants to hear your singing. And again, as I'm getting older, again, I'm less and less on key, less and able to hit a note above a C. But still, God loves to hear us singing. And I can prove it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Speaking to yourselves, Ephesians, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In fact, let's sing that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Praise the Lord. I've often thought of our years in junior church, and that's where I learned to play the guitar as best as I can strum on it. In our years of junior church, it was always amazing to me how much children memorize with a song. Once they get it in a song, you'll never forget it. It'll stick in your heart. It'll help you. And again, sometimes where you might not be able to recite a Bible verse, you could sing something that well words God's means and methods in our lives. A couple times this week, I broke down and sang Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, then Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and James, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, 3 John's, Jude, and Revelation. The things you memorize by Scripture. We went to a preacher's fellowship. I remember the young ladies. I don't remember too much more about them, but they stood up and they sang Psalms 119. Now, again, they just broke in songs on some of the verses. All 176 verses, without a book, without paper, they got up and recited the whole thing. And so, again, we can, our minds can sing. And again, if your voice don't sing right, wait till you're alone or whatnot, but lift it up. I've known a song leader that couldn't carry a song in a bucket. And he sang, got up to lead the singing with the microphone on. He sang as loud as he could sing, and it was as terrible as you could imagine. But listen, everybody tried to sing louder to cover up the noise that he was making, but it was a joyful noise. And whatever you have to do to make a joyful noise, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. I will sing a new song unto Thee, O God, upon the psaltery, upon an instrument of 10 strings. I will sing praises unto Thee. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Sing unto the Lord a new song. You notice an emphasis here. A new song, and His praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, sing unto the Lord a new song. We never had him here. When he was out at Anchor Baptist, when he was out there, the singer evangelist, Mark Rogers, he taught, and I taught the lesson here from God's Word, the four qualities of Christian music. One of those qualities I remembered well as I was saying that was, again, it ought to display that this is not the old song, this is a new song. And so, when we hear the Christian rock station, it bothers me more than the worldly's rock station. When I hear a Christian rock station trying to sing an old song and sticking in lyrics about the Lord Jesus Christ, is blasphemous. And so, again, to understand that, hey, that old way has to be gone, and our singing should be a new song. It should be different than our old means. It should have a different melody. It should have a different tone. And it should have a reminder to everybody that, hey, this is a brand new life singing this song. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And listen, we are to sing a new song. Revelations chapter 5 says this, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelations 14, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Father, praise You. Thank You for the great change that You've brought into our life. And of all the thanksgivings and all the things that we'd list, Father, there's none greater than that You gave us a new life. That again, that we're no longer under condemnation. But again, You've pardoned us, You've redeemed us, You've taken us out from all condemnation. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We thank You and we praise You. And I pray, Father, even for every one of us here this morning, that You'd put that new song in our heart.
Yes.
And may we ring it out as we'd walk through this week of Thanksgiving. Father, that we would bless Your holy name. And even when we're alone with ourselves and You, Father, we can bless Your name and have You smile on our lives because of the change You've brought into our lives and the love we have for You. And so I'll praise You now and thank You, Father. And as we're meeting here, I pray again that You'd touch and bless. Help us to remember what You did for us. May we walk into this week with a new and revived thanksgiving, praise, counting of our blessings, blessing Your name, hope in our Lord. And Father, that we could again walk a new life, even this week, a life of praise and thanksgiving. And Father, may it bring health to our navel, marrow to our bones, and a countenance that's healthy in Your presence. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles real quickly to the book of Matthew. We have again before us the Lord's table, and I ask the deacons if you'd come and have a seat here in the front row. And as we look at God's word again, we understand we'll go ahead and serve our Lord's table together. It's been a while. We've done this several times on Wednesdays while gathered around the table. So I thought it'd be good on this Sunday morning if we'd go ahead and gather and recognize some things about the Lord's table. Again, open our Bibles to Matthew and 26. And look again at the elements, and in Thanksgiving, boy, there's probably been no more better memorial method again than what God has ordained here for remembering and also showing our love for Him and our thanks for Him as the Lord's table. There's two ordinances that God gave to the church. That they should continue in these ordinances. One, again, is in baptism. And if you think about that, that's an ordinance where we stand up before God and everybody and announce that I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that's the purpose of that, is so that we could again make a public display that we have accepted Christ as our own personal Savior, and that we're buried in His likeness and we raised to walk in newness of life. Here at what's called often the communion meal, we gather together and we do, again, as a church, show that, hey, we are still in harmony with, we are still in sweet communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a public service. It is a public testimony. I'm not afraid if people again see whether I do or don't take communion, because that's what's public about it, that I'm publicly stating that I am in rich communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so both of these were given as ordinances to the church to be fulfilled by believers and only by believers. And we get some warnings about that, not partaking of it unworthily as an unbeliever, in 1 Corinthians 11. But here in Matthew in chapter 26, the Bible says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" And then it says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Now it says in verse 29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And so that cup there has a couple testimonies. One, again, of His blood that was shed for us, and that we have partaken of that and applied it to our lives, and that we are born again and are in sweet communion. It is His blood that washes us from all sin right now and keeps us in fellowship and communion with Him. So as we partake of these elements again, it is a portrayal that I am a born-again believer. I am saved. His body was broken for me. And again, as we remember those things, it's a time for internal inspection, to examine our own heart and life. And it's also a time when we recognize that, hey, I'm giving public testimony here, that I am a Christian, that I am again in sweet communion with my Lord Jesus Christ. And so given that and partaking of these elements here, even as Christ gave them to the disciples, we want to go ahead and just recognize that sweet communion. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for our little church. Father, you said as often as we do this, Father, that we do it in remembrance of you. And Father, we do that not only in remembrance, but in praise to your holy name. And to thank you again that you could take the likes of us and make us a new creature in you. And Father, thank you that we can be dwelling in Christ and that we could be indwelt by Christ. And as we give testimony for that just now, and as we acknowledge again the symbols again that took us there through your broken body and your shed blood, Father, I pray again that you'd encourage hearts and cause again that we could see your name exalted in our lives, even in this week of Thanksgiving. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. As it says again in the scriptures, the Bible says that he first took the bread, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to them. And I'm going to ask again the disciple, our disciples here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, in taking the symbols, if you'd go ahead. And Brother Johnson, if you'd ask a blessing on the bread.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your blessings, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, what you did for us on the cross, giving of yourself, allowing yourself to be tortured and killed, Lord, so that we could be saved. And as we take part of this communion service in the remembrance of you, we just ask you to be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Body of the Lord Jesus Christ was broken for us. And just before we partake of them, let's go ahead and have a time of soul searching, of praying, and of thanksgiving for what Christ did for your soul. Jesus told his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." Bible says, in like manner, then Jesus took the cup, and as we partake here in the cup, praise the Lord again for the symbols, and praise the Lord for the ability again just to worship in this way. And so I ask again that we serve the cup, and now I ask Brother Kramer to ask a blessing.
Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, we are so thankful for the blood you shed, Lord, for the remission of our sins, Lord, to cover them. We thank you so much, Lord, you did it willingly. Lord, I just praise you and thank you that we can take this remembrance. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. two things, as we said, was one is the blood of the covenant, whereby we are saved, and that was shed for our sins and took our place. And secondly, the cup that he would not partake of it again until he does it at his second coming. And so let's, again, just give God thanks privately for that offering. As he gave the cup to the disciples, he gave them this command, drink ye all of it. The Gospel of John says this, that when they had sung a hymn, they departed into the night. Well, we're going to depart into the rainy day here, but let's stand and sing. Blessed be the tie that binds, and sing that together. That might even be in our songbook, I'm not sure. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless your thanksgiving this week.